Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Jesus, we are here. And what we have seen, what we have heard, what we have sung reinforces not only the sermon, but our need for you today. And not just today, but every day. We need you, Lord, in your presence to so overflow and so infill us that we cannot help but let it pour out of us. We are reminded of the phraseology and the words that Uncle Bud Robinson once was recorded as saying, Lord, if you don't start pouring over me, you're going to kill me. Because he could not contain it. And I pray, Lord, that would be the quote-unquote problem we have. That we could not contain it. We would not want to contain it. Rather, we would plead that we would be spilled out so that we would be refilled, so that we would be spilled out, so that we would be refilled, so that as we are spilled out, we make others know of you, and that's why we are poured out. Pray, Lord, that you would be with us. Pray, Lord, that you would fill us, and I pray, Lord, that you would make us new. In Jesus' name, amen. Not to transition away from the moment that we are feeling and sensing, I want to take a couple minutes and say a couple things. First, some prayer requests that we have been made and known of, and that we also personally have. And thank you, Debbie, for reminding us we've got to let people know. We have a community that doesn't know Jesus. We've been out in this community, and we've only come into one family that goes to church. One around this church. My prayer is to touch 30 to 40 homes this week with invitation cards, as well as everything else that has to be done. People don't come unless you invite them. And what David was saying, can we help but tell people of Jesus? And if we're not, are we really filled with the Spirit of Jesus? Second thing I would just share with you is that thank you for the cards. I was told before we left last Sunday that there were some things in my box. They didn't tell me what it was. We had a lot of birthday cards and some gifts of love, and let me just share with you those gifts of love to help buy the gas back and forth, plus take my wife out for supper. And I am deeply grateful. This church is full of love. And there is no other way to say it. Full of love. And we know we are prayed for. Which brings me to point three. Every Wednesday night, a time of prayer here, down the hall, down that way. You want to be here. You want to be here. And as we become a church of prayer, not just that praise, and as we become a church that invites, not just, well, I go somewhere, but as we become great commissional, I fully believe God will replicate and duplicate what he's done every time in the past when people pray and people invite, and that is simply this. Come upon us, fill us, use us, and multiply us. And so those are the things that I want to share with you as we start. I do want to share another hoorah. In 6 to 7 weeks, this 4,000 a month mileage trek is going to end because Karen's going to be here. Hallelujah. We have what's called U-Packet, which is like a 27-foot semi-trailer. They're going to back up. We pack it. They come get it. They spend all of their money, all of their overhead, all of their everything. And then they bring it, and a week from that following Saturday, they deliver it. And I am grateful. And I'll have Karen here. And you will too, and you will know what it means to have the greatest lady on the face of the earth here. And I know David doesn't like that, but he'll just have to get over it. All right, a very close second. I'll go with that one. But thank you for putting up with all of this, for your patience. This, again, is a church that's phenomenal. The leadership team and the ministry team have been incredible, as have you been. So thank you. I want to start this morning with some thoughts, to share with you that in a lot of ways, you're going to hear the same sermon that you heard from David just a minute ago. And it's a thing of God, how his thoughts that came to him and the music came together in support of this message. And I want to share that with you. The resurrection has occurred and Mary is in the garden. You may remember the story well. She sees a man that she supposes to be the gardener, and she goes up to him and says, "Where have you taken the body of my Lord?" And let me tell you something. He does one thing that is extremely miraculous, one thing, the same thing that is extremely powerful, and the same thing that is both, that is all of that, and yet very simple and easy to understand. He spoke her name. One word. Mary, in that one word from his mouth, Mary, in that one breath from his lungs, Mary instantly recognizes it is Jesus. Go with me into Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. It is known as the road to Emmaus occurrence. Two people were walking. It says a man and another person. We don't know who it was. It does not tell us who both men were. One is Cleopas, and we don't know. Some say it was Mary, but Mary has already seen Jesus, and she takes off and goes and tells people about what happened. We don't know the exact chronology of how it all happened, except that very early in the morning is when Mary encountered Jesus at the tomb, and she goes and tells what she has experienced and gives testimony of what she knows. Comes back to what David was sharing. Isn't it interesting? The other person isn't even mentioned. Let me tell you some good things about that. We don't need to know the name of the person. Or God, through the Holy Spirit, would have inspired Luke to give us the name of the person. Isn't that wonderful? Because you may not have a name that is known across the continuum of Christianity. I sure know that I do not. And yet we matter to Jesus, and he still appears to us. Neither one of these two people were there that were there are part of the 12, the innermost circle, but yet they knew Jesus very well. What's your life like today? Do you know him that well to where you have encounters with him along your road of life, even when you don't know what's going on? Let's go to the locked room after the resurrection. Grace was given to the disciples in that room where they were hiding for fear of the who? Of the Gentiles. No, of the Jews. Of their own people. They were afraid of what would be said and what would be misaligned and what would be gossiped and what would be slandered. They were afraid of what could happen, what might happen, and what would happen if the Jews knew where they were, because they had been followers of this Messiah that had been killed, they thought, permanently on bad Black Friday. And they were hiding behind a wall and a locked door, and in comes Jesus. We don't know how he got through. We just know that he got through. He didn't have a key. He didn't kick the door down. He showed up. Grace. But God came into the midst of their fear, came into the midst of their anxiety, came into the midst of their anxiousness, and there he showed up. Not just as someone, but as the one that they recognized as the risen Lord and Savior, even as he said he would be.
Welcome to John chapter 20. Jesus is there with the disciples. Again, this time, Thomas was not there. Jesus is there among them. He shows them his hands and his side in verse 20. By this time, Mary Magdalene has arrived in the room and has announced that she has seen the Lord. She could not help but tell and announce what she has seen and experienced. They are in fear, and into the fear and apprehension, their anxiety and innocence of any wrongdoing, comes Jesus. Thomas is not there, but would have his own encounter with Jesus 8 days later in the same room. They have told him, and he says, I cannot believe it unless I touch his hands and put my finger in his side. And the message that comes from that, through that, with that, and to us is this. Could you not believe? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Folks, I do not know where God is going to lead. I don't know how he's going to do it. But what I do know is this book tells me he will. I stand on this book. I believe in this book. I believe in what is revealed in this book. And that's because it is holy. It is a revelation of God. I depend on it. I can tell you what. My life is built on it. And the worst case scenario is it's wrong and I will die and I will go to a grave and that'll be it. But the worst case scenario, if I don't, is this. I will not see Jesus in eternity with him forever. Forever. I don't know what each of you has been depending on. I do not know what each of you has been praying for. I do not know what each of you wants to have happen. Karen and I have been praying about some things for over 2 years, and we still do not have it yet. Does that mean God has failed? In a word, nope. Does not mean God is not trustworthy? In a word, nope. Does that mean God has forgotten? In a word, no. But I still believe he will. John chapter 20, verse 19, Jesus is there among him and with them and for them and into their lives, their fears, their amazement. He speaks the same four words that they have heard many, many, many times. Aren't you glad God speaks, Jesus speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks to us in words we can recognize and understand and remember and know? He says this, peace be with you. John chapter 20, verse 20. Jesus shows them his hands, his feet, his live body, and the physical proof that it is he, Jesus himself. There is no one else that it can or could or should be. The Bible says that they were glad. The Greek word, though, says this. They were whatever it says, I don't know. But it is a word that says they rejoice. I cannot pronounce English, let alone, I'm from Kentucky. I can't even pronounce can't. I say can't, let alone whatever it is. But it says they rejoice. There is a difference diametrically and absolutely and within the language that is this. Glad is here. Rejoice pours forth from here. They were having a rejoicing party. There was Jesus standing in the midst of them. There was Jesus with them. There was Jesus living and breathing and speaking to them. There was Jesus showing his hands and his side and his feet. They were having a rejoicing party. What's going on in your life, my life, our life? That we're not only glad, but we're rejoicing. I'm really glad we got a contractor to fix the roof whenever they can get around to it because their schedule is full. And I'm really glad that he is one with full of integrity and honesty and track record. And it's the same one that built the roof over this other area when Pastor Matt was here. I'm really glad for every visitor that is here. And again, please remember this. We need you to be filling out those things so I can call you, text you, come by, or at least pray for you. You see, I'm just a guy and of a guy that believes that God wants the pastor to follow up with folks. Because that shepherd care? Are you rejoicing? I have a pastor friend by the name of Jared. He is younger than me, enough to be my son. He is one of the best preachers I have heard. I don't mean of his generation. I don't mean in this time. I mean that I have heard, period. Mackey Church of the Nazarene, get on YouTube and find it and listen to him. He is phenomenal. When he was in Kentucky, he had some issues with health. And he felt like God had just touched him and healed him, and he took off shouting. What that ended up doing was preparing him for to believe in God for another healing, and he had a kind of cancer this time. And God has given him a clean bill of health a year out now. He's not glad. He's rejoicing. What do we need? What do we need to hear today? That we can have this experience of true rejoicing, of the peace of God that transcends and passes all understanding. This but God grace of rejoicing because of peace in us from God. Our text this morning is found this. I have no PowerPoint because my computer is needing some work, so please forgive me. I'm going to ask you to follow along the old-fashioned way, take notes the old-fashioned way, listen the old-fashioned way, and let God, the old-fashioned Holy Spirit, minister to you if you would, please. And for those who are here by internet, I would encourage you also to get out your phones and follow the scripture with your phones or with your Bibles at home, and we are extremely glad that you are with us. John chapter 20, verses 21 through 22. Let me read them for you. Jesus said to them again. He had already said in verse 19, peace be with you. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Let's stop. That is the same I am that was started in the beginning of the beginning of the beginning, the great I am of the Old Testament. Verse 22, and when he said this, he breathed on them. Remember the breath that brought the world into existence. Remember the breath of Jesus that spoke Mary's name. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Our sermon in a sentence is this. Jesus has come to us to speak in us, to share with us that he is choosing us. Let me say that again. Jesus, the same Jesus that spoke here, is saying this. He has come to us to speak in us, to share with us that he is choosing us. First, I want to share this with you again in the first verse of the text. In the first verse of the text, Jesus said to them again, A-G-A-I-N, a huge word there. Again, a restatement of the restoring grace that prepared them for the restoration of what had taken from them because of their fear, because of their anxiety, peace. In the midst of the pain, peace. In the midst of the turmoil, peace. In the midst of the fear, peace. In the midst of the unanswered questions, peace. In the midst of your and my waiting for whatever God is going to do, peace. I believe God wants to break out in us, on us, and from us like never before. I was sharing this with somebody before the service. Any church that prays and invites, God will bless and use. And I'm going to tell you, if, as, when, and to the degree that we do that, God is going to pour out on and with and through and from us. In the midst of powerlessness to overcome their situation, their fear, peace. You may remember one of the stories or two of the stories well. Jesus is in the boat. He's taking a nap. The disciples are trying to go against the flow. They are trying to survive, as it were, in life. And a storm comes up and starts blowing the ship. I would be seasick. But what's Jesus doing? In my own humorous mind, I hear him snoring. It doesn't say that. I'm not going to say he's doing that. But Jesus is up in the front of the boat, sleeping, not helping. And yet, wasn't he? Disciples, I'm at rest. I was here when all of this was made. I was here when the wind stirred up. And I am sleeping and at rest. I'm at peace. And he gets out and they wake him up and they say, "Don't you see we are going to die?" And he says this, "Peace be still. Peace be still." And of course the whirlwind kept coming up and the tornado kept coming up and the boat was sunk. No. Instant calm. Another story, Jesus comes to them in the middle of the night. They're out on the water. Peter is terrified. All of them are terrified, and someone says, "It is the Lord." And Peter says, "If it's you, tell me to come to you." And he says, "All right, Peter, come on." And Peter gets out and walks on the water. He looks around, he gets fearful, and he starts to sink. Fear, not peace. Starts to sink, not stay. Jesus reaches down, and before we get mad at Peter or think the worst of him, how come nobody else jumped out of the boat and went to Jesus? Was the boat so secure that they couldn't go to the one who made the wind, the waves, the water? Was what they were used to and what they had surrounded themselves so much better than what they could have and what God wants us to have? Jesus has come to us to speak in us, to share with us that he chooses us. Second thing I would say is this. Let's look at the text again, chapter 20, verse 21. "As the Father has sent," and in parenthesis, "even," out of parenthesis, "me." As the Father has sent me. He, Jesus, reaffirms that he was, he is, and he has been sent by the Father to be the message, to be the miracle that would need to come to the world and has been dwelling in ever since the beginning of time and is still in this world through his Holy Spirit. He, Jesus, is the Holy One from the Holy Father. He is the second person of the Trinity. We in the church are called Trinitarian in a sense in that we believe there are three persons, one same mindset. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of them have the same purpose, the same vision, and they operate within each other and are unified. Is it any wonder where we are told to say, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus"? We are surrendered to, we have possession of, and we walk under the influence of the same mind of Christ that is the same mind of God the Father, being led by the same God the Holy Spirit. He, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, he is the Son of God, the Lord God Jehovah that promised to send redemption of man for sin in Genesis 3:15. And from that point forward, it all pointed in the Old Testament to the fulfillment in the New Testament for the maturation and the beginning of the new church of the New Testament, church in the New Testament. I want to share something with you, ladies and gentlemen. The cross was the end of the beginning, and the resurrection is and was and shall ever be the beginning of the end. And one day when Jesus splits the eastern sky, it's going to be the end, and I want you to be going up there with me. He is the victorious, risen fulfillment of many prophecies of his death and resurrection. I wish Emily was here because I have some mathematics that I cannot understand. She's got her doctorate in ring something or other kinds of mathematics. Matthew Stoner is a mathematician and chairman of the Department of Astronomy and Mathematics at Pasadena College. His conclusion, because he is a believer, he did a lot of mathematical equations. And here's what his conclusion is about the prophecies of God about Jesus. Listen to this. The likelihood of one person fulfilling all of the prophecies of the validity of Jesus being the Messiah, including his death and resurrection, was just 1 in 10 to the 17th power. In order to understand that, we need to know how many people have roughly about how many people can we calculate have lived on the face of the earth. Only about 117 billion. In other words, 10 to the 11th power. The likelihood of him fulfilling every prophecy is less than the total number of people that have lived on the face of the earth. Now let's go another thing. The likelihood of him not being Messiah because he did fulfill it is inestimable. In other words, they can't even calculate it. It is so far out there, 10 to the whatever power, they can't even figure a power. It is impossible that he is not the Messiah. We hear, well, let's just look at science. That is science. That is mathematics. As the Father has sent even me. If you can read this book and doubt it, if you can look at the mathematical and scientific equations and doubt it, then ladies and gentlemen, you have more faith than I do. You have more faith than I do. I will never have that much faith to doubt all of that. But what I do have is faith that God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Jesus Christ, his Son, would and could be saved. It's available for all. It's up to us to get it, to accept it. Jesus has come to us to speak in us, to share with us that he is choosing us. Jesus is sending them as the Father has sent me. He is sending them. Holy sending, holy choosing, holy message, holy presence, holy telling, holy making of holy disciples. Can we get it? Full sonship. We are joint heirs with God because of Jesus and through Jesus. Into where he knows best. We may not get it, but he does. Holy surrender. Holy totality of yes, Lord, yes, to your will, your way. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. It whispers, draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There's new heights you can climb and a new place in me you can find. As the Father hath sent me. Look at it again. Chapter 20, verse 21. Even so I am sending you. In the same way, with the same purpose, with the same vision, I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, now I am sending you with the same authority, the same personality, the same purpose, the same power, the same personification, the same vision, the same message, the same everything that I was sent with, in the same way that God the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Sent out. Sent forth. sent away from the four walls of our homes, of our cars or trucks, of our beautiful sanctuary God has given us. It's God's sanctuary, folks. It's not us. It's where we worship. It is His Holy of Holies in the New Testament sense. It's where we come into, to where we can experience the presence of God in a closer way. And yet in the New Testament sense, we can be the dwelling place and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Hold on to that thought. I'll come back to that. Be sent to be disciples that make disciples. Well, I don't know how to do it. Well, do you have a cup of coffee? Yeah. Okay. Do you have a coffee pot? Well, yeah. Okay. You got a package of cookies or an oven? Well, yeah. Okay. You got plates and knives and forks? Well, yeah. Okay. You've just answered your own question. A little old lady, Brown County, Illinois, Versailles, Illinois, did not have hardly any money, but she knew how to cook. And everybody in that town knew Georgie Wilson because she baked great brownies. She was my grandmother, and let me tell you, she baked great brownies. But she would bring them in to share Jesus. The brownies was the door opener. And once you got in, get ready. She connected with you. She knew about your dog, cat, chicken, pig, and goat. She knew the names of your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, your brother, sisters, uncles, nieces, nephew. And she would ask about them all. And then she would say, how can I pray for you now that you're here and drank my coffee? Well, that's okay. Okay. And she would say this. Okay, but I'm still going to pray for you. Across the years, innumerable people were led to Jesus across that old dining room table. She didn't have the Roman road to salvation. She wasn't told the four spiritual laws. She wasn't instructed on, could God be for me? She did one thing. She told her story. She told the story. Herein. Will Hayworth puts it this way, can we truly say we are disciples of Jesus if we are not fishing for men? I would go even further and I would say a shouting amen, hallelujah, you're right, Pastor Will. But I would go further, can we really say we are filled with the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, if we are not abiding in Christ and bearing fruit, not just fishing for them, but bearing fruit from them and with them? We're sharing again before the service, it takes about 25 invitations now post-COVID before someone will come to church with you, minimum. And again I share, and again I share, and again I share, the biggest reason people don't come is because they have not been invited. Or if they've been invited, they see something in your life that says, I don't want anything of that. You're here. You've been invited. Thank you. Yet God calls each of us. Jesus instructs all of us. And the Holy Spirit infills any of us to be telling of Him. In Acts chapter 4, the disciples are brought in. They could easily be killed. And they were saying, you need to shut your big fat yap. And Peter and John stood there very boldly, knowing that the next thing that could happen, they could lose their heads literally. And they said, we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard. When was the last time you've heard from Him? Sent fruitful, multiply. John 15, 1 through 2, bear fruit. John 15, 2, be willing to be pruned out A lot of times God uses circumstances and difficulties and troubles and turmoils and not so nice of things to prune us, to make us, and use those things also to make us more like Him so that we can minister to other people. I will tell you this. As a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, as an assistant pastor, as a missionary, I talk to a lot of people who've lost kids and spouses. I did not relate to them and do as well until and after I lost my two children and my late wife. Am I glad I did know? I think the world of my wife. If you don't like her, you and I can step out back. All right, a little humor, sort of. But I could not relate to people who have lost children. You're not supposed to outlive your children. I could not relate to people who have lost their spouse in their 50s to death. Except that I have been through it. So I shared about forgiveness. You don't always get over it, but you can get through it. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, you'd know the reason why I love Him so. You can take this world's wealth and riches. I don't need earth fame. It's my desire to live for Him. God, through those difficult situations, and has helped and pruned me to be more capable of talking with people, as I'm sure He wants to and can use you through the situations that He has helped you through, not brought you to, but brought you through to talk to other people. The best people drug addicts can talk with are those who have been drug addicts and God has delivered. The best people LGBTQ people can talk with are those who God has brought out of the LGBTQ community, and I've worked with some of those and helped them come out. On and on and on. And God will use you in, with, from, through what God has brought you through to bring others to Him. One of the greatest needs and expectations is not nicer sermons, better singing, great sound system, or even good AV. It's people that will be so in love with Jesus that they will be used by Jesus to tell others of Jesus. He's sending us to be intersectors and disciples that make more disciples with the same authority He was given from the Father. Do you get that? We have the exact same authority, all authority, to be able to do that. Lo, I am with you always, and I send you in my authority, the Great Commission, with the breathed and spoken command. It's an imperative to go. It is not an option if we are to be following Jesus. With the breathed and spoken command and imperative to dwell in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus has come to us that He would be in us to share with us that He is choosing us to be Him to our world. Finally, in the text, verse 22, when He said this, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, I just fully believe until and unless we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot and will not be sharing Jesus. But if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we cannot help but be people who share Jesus. Great sermon, Dave. See why I say you preach my sermon. That's of God. That's of God. It's an imperative. It is not the fulfillment of it. John 14, 6 through 7 is the promise of the Holy Spirit. This text is a command to receive the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus sends his Holy Spirit to be the fulfillment of receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, it happens. And the world has never been the same. What would happen if Champion, Warren, Trumbull County, Ohio, were to have people like us that would be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we could not help but speak? We would be the unkept secret in town, in county, in state. See, it's not just a vision. It's really, in a lot of ways, a command. It's not my idea. It's God's. It's an imperative, it's a purpose to be sent with the same fullness of how Jesus was sent, with the presence, the personification, the purpose, the passion, the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy power, the same power of Jesus, which is the power of the Father. We are called and reminded how we are to be sent. His power goes with us. We are sent with that same power. We are called to not be weak and not be timid, but to be bold. Holy boldness. In Acts 4, after they got done, they being threatened, they went back and they prayed for more holy boldness. And what happened? God the Holy Spirit came down again in a new and fresh way. We are called to live in His command. His power equips us. We are called to forsake everything else. His power purifies us. His power sends us. His power is in us. It personifies us because we are filled not with us, but with Him. The Holy Spirit in us. We become the living, breathing, walking temple of God. Do you not know, church, that when the Holy Spirit comes in the words of Paul, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Pretty powerful stuff. Just as Jesus was sent, the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, his physical body was the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where we can have and should have and need to have that same power in that same way because of that same personification and purpose and purity and the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:17, we are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone and a newness has come. Isaiah 43:19, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Are we different by design? Are we so sure and so committed to following Jesus that we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard? Or is it that maybe we have not experienced? Dave, come up here a minute, will you? There's a song we all know. It's a song that we have sung. I'm going to ask you to stand, and if you are willing to do this, I want you to raise your hand. It is a covenant, not a response only. It is an asking of God, not a getting along with the preacher. It is a newness from this day forward. Goes like this. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power.
in thine own gentle way.
If you want this to happen in this church, I'm going to ask you to come down to the altar and let's pray together at this point when we sing it again.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way.
One more time, please, Dave.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come.
Jesus, we are here today at the altar. Whether we're standing in the back or we're kneeling at the front. And we're just going to confess to you we need a new touch from you because we are kind of stuck. Or we are overwhelmed. Or better yet, we are hungry for a new move of you. Streams in the desert. We need a new touch from you. And we need a new touch not just for to make us feel glad, but we need a new touch to make us rejoice and tell. A brokenness for the value of a man's soul. A burden for the condition of a person without Jesus. And a boldness that will have us even today and this week connecting, contacting, and encouraging, and asking. When Jesus walked the face of this earth, Father, he invited many to come after him and follow after him. Many did not, but that was them. That was not him. He invited. They did not respond, or they forsook. We can invite, and we must invite and keep inviting, but more than that, share Jesus. I pray, Lord, that this church would never be content with the same people, but that we would seek others, fish for men, and tell and bear fruit. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. As we're here today, ask God to give you someone to pray for, pray with, pray over, and ask to come. First, if needed, the church, but and with the goal of come to Jesus. Because I just believe he will. Lord, burden their mind, burden their heart, and burden their spirit. If they are a couple, for another couple. If they are single, for another single person or more. If they are a family, another family that burden them and break them to where they cannot rest until they speak of Jesus and see the end result of those people coming to Jesus. And we give you praise. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You've been kind. Thank you. You are dismissed. Staff, I need to see you at the barn in about 10 seconds.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.